Mike Rank, and he earned 80 years. Today we are speaking about a very, very challenging topic. We're speaking about the series entitled Judgment Call. And for me, just looking at it and thinking about it and working through it and hearing this message, I must say it has been very, very challenging. I've certainly seen myself make many wrong moves. I've certainly seen myself make many wrong judgments. And as with anything else, as I see myself more clearly, I also see it more clearly in others. But as I see it more clearly in others, I see it more clearly in myself, because I realize once again I'm making a judgment. So, why don't we open with a prayer? Prepare our hearts for what is to come. Father, we thank you so much for the direction that you give us through the scriptures, or through the scriptures. And that you help us to be the men and women that we need to be in order to be and do the best for you. I pray tonight as we may see the things in ourselves, we will embrace it, that it will grow in us, and that we will become more and more the people that you need, that will be able to help our world in a better way. Please begin by speaking. I pray in Son's name. Amen. How many of us, I grew up in church. But as you went, okay, that's right, it was like about 80% of us. Now, here's one thing about us church people. Going to church, you some way or another, learn to be very judgmental. Church people. We have the tendency to see that maybe there is one or two things that I can change, but there are about 20 or 30 things that other people can change. And we tend to ignore the one or two things that we can change, and we make our complete focus the 10 or 20 or 30 things that other people can change. As Christians, we can be very judgmental. So judgmental that non-Christians or non-church goers avoid us at all costs. As a matter of fact, they don't want to come with us to church because they know that as soon as they walk through that door, you will judge them right out of the door again. Because of our judgmental spirit. You can be judgmental on what you think. You can be judgmental in what it is that you say about someone. You can be judgmental in the way that it is that you are acting towards someone. And I can say even right now, even this evening, several of us, we have been judgmental. Right here. I'm sure that even as we are sitting in that very seat right now, some of us are thinking some or the other judgmental thought. Either about the song leaders as they sang, the Lord's Supper or how it was done, or maybe even the service tonight, but somehow, some way, we think judgmental thoughts. It's judgmental when you start forming opinions in your mind about other people where you obviously believe that you are right and that they must obviously be wrong. And we can form those opinions on all kinds of things. We can form those opinions on the way that people dress. We can form those opinions on maybe the sisters do this more, I'm not sure, on what their hair looks like. We can form opinions and say, you know what, they're absurd, ill-disciplined. Is it any wonder that their whole life is falling apart? They are so proud. No wonder they have so few friends. Is it any wonder? And you can see actually with that pride in the person's life or with the self-focusedness, you can see that their life is spinning out of control and is heading into a path of destruction. And in your heart of hearts, you actually feel like, I need to say something. I need to save them from the destruction into which they are heading. But while you are thinking that, and while you are forming all those opinions, there's also another tape playing in the back of your mind that says, do not judge. Do not judge. But he's ruining his marriage. Do not judge. Do not judge. And that tape is playing, of course, all of us at some point. Someone has said to us in our lives that somewhere in the Bible it says, do not judge. So that tape is playing. Do not judge. Do not judge. But then, there's also another fact playing that is saying, but they are heading for destruction. They are busy ruining their marriage, they're ruining their relationships, they're ruining themselves. And so both things are playing at the same time. Do not judge. But what about their marriage? Do not judge, but how will their kids turn up? Do not judge, but how will they turn up? And so it causes great confusion and a dilemma. Should we judge or shouldn't we? We all obviously, or most of us at some point, have sat in the other seat. We'll make it the black seat. The seat where you have been judged. And this is a terrible, terrible place to be to sit in this seat, isn't it? Where you can see that someone is busy judging you. You can see that. You can see that they are looking either at your hair, your boyfriend, your girlfriend, the clothes that you are wearing. And you can see that what they're doing is having a quick scan and going, judge. And they don't have to say anything. But you know that you have been judged. It can be in something as basic as the way that you raise your children. And your mother-in-law comes into the house and you can see it in her eyes. You can see it. She thinks, that's not the way I raise my children. That's not the way I raise my children. I wonder why he's doing this right now. We've even experienced that in church with Mikaela, our first kid. What do I know as a parent? But it would be, maybe you're holding it wrong. What are you doing? Now some people would come up straight and say, what are you doing? Other people can just see in the eyes, what on earth are you doing? She's crying, this is what you should do. Well, why don't you take the child then? Being judged. It can be that you go out to dinner, everyone orders something to drink, when the drinks come back, you're the only one with the beer. And you can see the other people are scanning up and down, thinking, he's a drinker. You've been judged. Or sometimes it's the other way around. The drinks come back, you're the only one that does not have a beer, and they think, he's a Christian. You've been judged. One of the things that make it so hard in being judged is that you are not given an opportunity to plead your side of the case. You are not given an opportunity to explain and to say, listen, let me explain. I know my hair doesn't look good today, but let me just explain what happened this morning. Or, you know why I'm wearing this clothes? It's the washing machine. Or, you know, I actually don't have money. Or let me, can I just explain why it is this way? Can you maybe just take in consideration why I was so sort of
short of temper this morning? Yeah. Can I just explain? Can you just give me a chance?
But we don't get that chance, do we?
No.
There's no chance. You're Dutch.
I'm sure that all of us have someone at some point coming to you, seemingly wanting to help you with something from a good spirit, but you know that they are actually just out there to judge you. And they take out scriptures, they tell nice stories, they have a good facial expression, but you know that what they actually want, now listen carefully to this, what they actually want, and I've been there, and I think most probably all of us have been there, what they actually want is for you to just be more like them. And the reason why I am judging you on this issue is because you should be more like me. I understand it. My perception of a relationship, my perception of parenting, my perception of how we should deal with this issue is obviously right, yours is obviously wrong, and so I'm just coming to you, and I'm going to show you some scriptures, and I'm going to tell you some stories, just so that you can be more like me.
I've done that. I'm sure several of us have.
But as you've said in this seat here, and you have made that judgment call on someone, how's that work out for you? How often when you've gone into a situation with a judgmental spirit, did someone say to you, you know what? Thank you so much. You have made me feel so small and so little. So what I think is that with all of my heart, I just really want to be more like you.
Isn't it the exact opposite that happens when someone judges you?
Isn't it true that when you judge me, it doesn't help me want to change? When you judge me, I don't want to be different. When you judge me, I certainly don't want to be more like you. As a matter of fact, when you judge me, it drives me more and more into my own behavior. Deeper and deeper and deeper.
Yeah.
My guess is that all of us, we have all sat in both seats at one time or another, let's be honest, even during this past week.
Mm-hmm.
We've all been in this seat where we have judged. And maybe it's not that you have confronted someone, but you're thinking. And not only are you thinking of what you're doing, is you're going to others. And you're saying, have you noticed? I mean, I don't want to judge them. Have you spoken to them? No, I don't want to judge them. I just want to, this is just a prayer request. Can we just pass on the word? Can you just stop? I think the other night I went over to have her for dinner and I looked at the state of their marriage and whoo, let me tell you, there are some serious, serious, serious problems. But I don't want to be judgmental. I'm just informing you so that we can together pray and that we can continue and to just spread the word so that more people can just be prayerful for them, because certainly you with me, we are not the kind of people like so many others who are judgmental. See, this is something that we have to get right. Because when you don't get this right, it can cause a lot of destruction. It can cause destruction in your marriage. It can cause destruction in your parenting. It can cause really some great destruction in our own fellowship in the church. It can cause destruction in society. I mean, it's no secret that most non-church-going people feel like Christians are judgmental.
True.
And if we don't get this right, we will ostracize the world from the church because people say, they are just too judgmental, I don't want to be with them, I don't want to see them. And I know that even now some of us are already thinking, but what I'm thinking is right. And you know what? I've got the scriptures to prove it. you might be right. But although you're right, because of your spirit, you lose the leverage that you have in actually helping the person. Because of your spirit, you're pushing them further and further away instead of going closer and closer to you and closer to the truth. Thank you in Matthew chapter 7.
Come on back.
In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus is addressing this issue of when to judge and when not to judge. When is it a sin? And when is it not a sin? And also really what he is bringing about is, how can I confront you? Because certainly people need to be confronted, right? Right?
Yeah.
I think now we are sure. Certainly people need to be confronted. But how can I confront people without being judgmental? Matthew chapter 7. We'll read there from this one. Do not judge. There it is. Now, if you've ever wondered where that passage is, next time you want to say to someone somewhere in the Bible, you don't have to say somewhere in the Bible. You can say Matthew chapter 7, verse 1. It says, do not judge. I think already some are thinking, I knew it! I knew it! Quickly looking at your husband, looking at your wife, looking at your dad, looking at your mom. I knew it, there it is. Others again are now confused because are we not supposed to be addressing things? Are we not supposed to be mentioning things? Are we not supposed to be helping each other? Are we not supposed to heal a broken world and help them understand God's ways? Let's read further. Do not judge, which basically means to condemn on the basis of your opinion, or you too will be judged. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. By whom? God? Maybe. The person that you are judging? Maybe. Others that are watching you making this judgment call? Maybe. We don't really know. Jesus doesn't say. What he does say though, is no matter whom you will be judged by, if you judge, it will come back to you. You too will be judged. Whether it is that you might be judged by God, whether it is that you might be judged by the person that you're judging, or whether it is that you might be judged by the people watching you judge others, or whether it is that you might be judged by all three. We don't know. What we do know is that before you judge, before you allow the thought to come into your mind, you must know that if you make this call, or if you think this thought, or if you form this opinion, it will come back to you. Verse 2. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. As you listen to what Jesus is saying here, he is not necessarily saying, it will unfold more and more as we study the scripture further, he is not necessarily saying that we should not make a judgment call. But he's more talking about how to make that call when you make it. And it seems like he is hinting towards the golden rule. What's the golden rule? Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. So now let's apply it to our context here. Judge unto others as you would have them judge unto you. So before I make a judgment call, before I judge you, I need to be thinking, how would I want God to judge me? How would I want you to judge me? And if you know that you will be judged as you judge, should that not change the way that you judge? Because the reality is, the measure that you use will be used against you. In other words, the way that you are judging right now, with the intensity, with the vigor, with the either with mercy or with the lack of mercy, that will come back to you. That in many ways is a promise. And so then the question we have to ask ourselves is, how do we want to be judged? Have you thought about that? I know the way that I want to be judged is that when I'm judged by people or by God, I want everything to be taken into consideration. No, I want it to be taken into consideration where I was born. I want it to be taken into consideration which family I was born into, and which neighborhood we lived, whether we were wealthy or whether we were poor. I want them to be taken into consideration what their teacher said to me in fifth grade. That really gave me a bit of a crack in my character. That made me insecure. I want them to take into consideration that because God didn't make me athletic, that's the reason why I hang out with a dope smoking crowd. And that's why I turned out the kind of way that I am. I want people to take all those things and the way my day was, everything into consideration before they judge me. Don't you? I mean, if you let me talk long enough, then Jesus would, man, he would put his arm around me and say, "Boy, man, is it any wonder he turned out such an idiot? You didn't even have a chance." I mean, he'll take out the Phoenix and say, "We ain't judging this boy. He just had too much to overcome. It was just too hard for him. Welcome into my kingdom, my good and faithful servant." That is the way I want to be judged. I want to be cut from slack. And in all honesty, I won't even mind if you say, "Listen, man, I can clearly see that you do it, but I know that there's probably more to the story. I know that there is most probably something that we have not taken into consideration as we watch this. I'm sure that if we talk to you, actually more would unfold and things would become clearer." That's what I'm going to judge. It's for people to ask. For people to want to understand before they make that call. Thank you, University. Now the heat's getting up here, not only physically, but you'll see in the passage. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye? Why do you take a look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye? Why? Why is it so important to you? Why do you even care? Well, just, I'm just interested in them. I just want the best for them. Really? Why do you care? Why is it so important to you? Maybe you need to ask, what is it in me that makes me want to judge them on that particular issue that is bothering me? Why is it bothering me? Why is it so important? Why am I so concerned? Why do I feel I must say something? Why do I feel I must think this? Why does this sin make me feel the way that I feel? He says, why do you do that and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? So God is saying, why are you so excited and so motivated to pay attention to the speck of dust in there and not look at your own problems? Well, that's easy. What problem? I don't have problems. I mean, you can clearly see they're the one with the problems. I'm just a concerned Christian with a pure heart, gifted with great insight to be able to see in others what they are not able to see in themselves. And I am just wanting to do them a great service. I believe God is saying, yes, sure, tell me again, why? Why is it so important? It seems like Jesus is hinting here, and again you'll see it later on in the scripture, that maybe what we should do when we feel that something is coming up inside of us, and we want to make that call, we want to think, we want to address, we want to speak, maybe we should first take a look in the mirror and say, why? Why do I want to do this? Why do I feel this way? Why is their sin driving me mad? Verse 4. How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye? The speck, the small little speck out of your eye. When all the time there is a plan in your own eye. Saying, how can you do that? How is it possible? When you are at the limit of your self-righteous anger, when you are so strong in your opinions, when you're at the point where you can quote 9 out of the 10 commandments, should there not be a point where you are able to just pause for a moment and say, let me just... is someone who wants to point out the speck of dust in someone else's eye. Now, but I can see it, it's there. God is not saying it's not there. As a matter of fact, he's not even saying that it shouldn't be pointed out. The hypocrite is the person that can see it there, but does not first take a look in the mirror to take a look in the plank in their own eye and say, maybe there's something that should be done about me. Maybe there is something in me. Jesus says that if you're not willing to do that, if you are so upset, if you are so determined to make that call, then you are a hypocrite. Isn't it true that society at large views the church as a bunch of hypocrites? And let me tell you, it is not because they are unwilling to see the speck of dust in their eye. They view us as hypocrites because of our unwillingness to see the plank in our own eye. And because we don't first take a look in the mirror and first see who we are before God, who we are before men, we lose the leverage that we have with them to possibly help them. That happens between husband and wife. It happens between dad and son. It happens between mothers and daughters. It happens at work. It happens in church. It happens everywhere. The reality is, like I said, all of us, we have sat in this black seat. And when you sit in this black seat, most of the time, you know where you're sitting. You know your sin. You know your temptation. You know that you've done wrong. You know that you need to change. And you know that the Bible has clearly addressed these things. But when you come to me while I'm sitting in this seat and you address my issues without paying attention to your own issues, and I'm aware of that, something in that shakes my ears. Something in that just makes it impossible for me to hear you. Because what am I thinking? I'm thinking, let me go over to this seat. I'm thinking, you hypocrite! How dare you judge me? How dare you call me self-aware when you've got a whole stinking plank in your eye and you are clearly not aware of it? Now the other person is back in this seat. And now they say, you're calling me a hypocrite. You're having no self-awareness. You're judging me. What about your problems? You don't see your own problems, Dad. You don't see your own problems, Mom. You don't see your own problems, honey. But my wife, my husband, my kids. Now, you don't see yourself first. And that's where the problem comes. And because we are not able to see the plank in our own eye, and because we are not able to deal with that, we are actually driving other people deeper and deeper into their behavior. Therefore, in verse 5, Jesus says, what is the solution? He says, you hypocrite, first, why does he say first? Because there's a second. First, take the plank out of your own eye. So in other words, does he have an issue? Yes. He says, but the first thing that you need to do is take the plank out of your own mind. First figure out, why am I so disturbed? Why am I so infuriated? But what about him? He has got a problem. Once he mentioned it, the minute he mentioned it, they will go down the path of destruction. He is saying, right, you're absolutely right, but it's you first. You must go first. So you want to help them with the speck of dust in their eye? Oh, absolutely. You want to help them from heading down that path of destruction? Oh, yeah, Jesus. You want to make sure that they don't ruin society? Absolutely. You want to make sure that they don't ruin the church? Yes, I want to make sure. You want me to use you? Absolutely. I want you to use me. Send me. He says, well, then first look in the mirror. I want to prepare you. I am prepared. You think you're prepared. Look in the mirror. And then you'll be prepared. Because, friends, isn't it true that when we are able to first look in the mirror, and when we are able to see the plank in our own eye, and when we realize our own condition, that our whole spirit changes. And that the way that we go into those calls, into those conversations, is not with so much vigor and so much fire and so much judgment, but it's with a lot more mercy. Because we're prepared, because we know what we need. We need mercy. We know that I've looked at the plank in my life. I've seen the troubles in my life. I've seen all the issues that I have. And so really, I'm coming to you only as a beggar shine the other beggar where the bread is. And I have so much more leverage with you, because to you it's also clear that this is one sinner talking to another sinner. And this is not a self-righteous human being who really just wants me to be more like them. And it changes everything if you're just able to look in the mirror first. If you're able to take the plank out of your own eye first. He continues saying, and then you will see what? Clearly. Why do we need to see clearly? Because there's a second. Then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. See, only when the plank is out, Only when I'm leaving, then I will be able to see clearly and I will be able to address clearly the issue at hand and actually help. One of the questions, obviously, that we need to figure out in those moments, and I thought long and hard about this and came up with several answers, is thinking, what emotion is it in you, comes up in you, that their behavior elicits? What emotion is it in you that their behavior elicits? Men are so proud! What emotion is their pride evoking in me? Anger. I cannot believe someone can be so indisciplined. I cannot believe they always think they're right. I cannot believe he does this. I cannot believe she does it. I cannot believe there they just go at it once again. Anger. What is worse? Their pride or your anger? Their lack of discipline or your anger? What emotion is their sin bringing out in you? I cannot believe she's wearing that. Is it jealousy? Because she can wear it and you can't? Is it maybe because he used to be able to wear it? And now you can't. And really now, yes. See, before we can help our brother, before we can help our sister, before we can help the non-Christian, we first need to strip and rid ourselves of that anger. We need to first strip and rid ourselves of that jealousy. We need to first strip and rid ourselves of that fear, strip ourselves of that insecurity, strip ourselves of that judgmental spirit. And when we have stripped ourselves from those things, then Jesus says, now you are ready. Now you can go and you can speak to them and everything's going to be okay. Now for a moment in closing here, I do want to speak to those of us, I've spoken a lot about God's making the judgment. I want to speak for a moment to those of us that feel like we spend our lives in this. Because I do think some of us feel like we feel like we've never been in this seat. Which for one might probably means you've actually been in this seat all the way you think. But let me just for a moment speak to those of us that spend a lot of time in this seat and continually feel judged by us. Have you ever considered that there is a chance that when people mention something to you or bring up something in your life, that they actually do so in love and care? And that they actually have been down the path that you are walking right now, and they know that that path is leading to a bad place, and in love they want to warn you, and maybe they are not the most eloquent, and maybe they have not chosen their words well, and maybe they need to learn a lot of lessons, but bottom line is actually they do care. And what you do is you blow up a smoke screen with the do not judge. And whenever someone is just saying something to you and trying to communicate something to you and trying to help you with something, that all that you continue to do is you just say to yourself, do not judge, do not judge, do not judge. There they go again, they are so judgmental, they are so prideful, they're not seeing the flame, and really the one that at that stage that's actually not seeing is. The amazing thing about Jesus is that He is always able to speak to everyone. Each of us tonight, we have spent time in both seats. Maybe this week we have spent time in one or the other. Have you spent time in this seat a lot? I want to encourage you to open your ears, to open your heart, and to allow people to come love, help you with it. If you have spent a whole lot of time in this seat, which I think there's been a sitting me first, but I think maybe one or two or 100 others, have also spent some good time in their sea. We don't want to say before we turn our feet that way, make sure that we first look in the mirror. Make sure that we first take out the plank so that we will be better prepared to help our friends. Can you imagine what would happen if all of us here tonight took on that step? I said, you know what? I'm going to go out in this world. I'm going to make a difference. But it's me first. God bless you. Amen.